I'd really like to change a word in that last verse to fit the spirit of this service. Come, Holy Spirit, aid us to keep the vows we make. This very day, invade us. And I'd like to change that to immerse us. Immerse us in the spirit, the life, the message, everything that we as followers of Jesus Christ, manfully and womanly, what's the female version of manfully?
Womanly,
thank you. Yesterday, Westminster Central Hall, the congregation and their minister, William Sangster, had to worship in a different place to the Central Hall because it was the inaugural meeting of the United Nations in Westminster Central Hall. The foreign minister at that time, Ernest Bevin, had to persuade the trustees of the Central Hall, and I quote, "There could be no better place than a house of God with the atmosphere of prayer already there." What a wonderfully succinct, almost a sermon there in that one little paragraph. Dr. Sangster and his congregation worshipped. Anybody know where they worshipped? The Victoria Palace and the London Colosseum. And it just made me think when we reflect on some of the alternative worship places in our town of Brighton, that one of the great evangelical churches started off in a cinema and ended up in an old Comet warehouse. And we rightly, especially us being a city of sanctuary, we rightly revere our places of worship. And there's a very real sense of this place being a sanctuary. But when I was a boy and had no faith, my worship place and my sanctuary was that very cinema that the evangelical church started worshipping in when I used to go on Saturday morning as the ABC Miners. Probably too much information there. I'm thinking of this word immersion and how the Holy Spirit empowers, I would suggest, every person in this room to be like Jesus, but in your own absolutely unique way. And I would love to know when you heard that word of God, that you were his beloved son or daughter. Because very often when we hear that Holy Spirit, it defies all kind of logic. It defies all kind of reason. And for many people, of course, it is a logical and reasoned approach to their faith. But for other people, and especially me, it's a bit like, where did that come from? And God's announcement to me, whilst it wasn't as clear and succinct as "You are my beloved son," God's message to me was, "Harrington, it starts with me." And that was around about 1967. My friend Paul and my old schoolmate is also a great Beatles fan. And in 1967, when I first started thinking about a faith awareness, the Beatles released Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. I believe there are many subliminal references to the God that we know in that in that album. One of the men who were at that recording session was a man called Timothy Leary, an American professor who promoted the use of LSD. And he encouraged many students across America and more worldwide to say, tune in, turn on, and drop out. Some of you may remember it. On my faith journey, I was once asked to say something at Stamford Avenue in an evening service, and this would now be 1987. And I just spoke about how important to me music was, how important that in this case the Beatles were. So I can hear God saying, love me do, you know I'll love you, I'll always be true, so please, love me do. For me, that was a subliminal message from God. A track on Sgt. Pepper's album is Got to Get You Into My Life. And that coincided with my spiritual awakening of sitting again in Stamford Avenue and thinking, there's got to be another way of sharing Christ's message to go alongside with what we've already got. I remember, and we'll be referencing Mary Bailey briefly in our next hymn, her favourite hymn, which we'll be singing at the end of this reflection. And I was just telling her about my call just to be a disciple, and she said, but do you want to change just for the sake of it? And it was a deeply personal question. And I concluded that I am what I am. Yes, I tell rubbish jokes, but I like to think that they reflect some kind of spiritual message. So, we've heard that affirmation in that reading from Isaiah that this nation, Israel, are being sanctioned to be God's people. And I just wonder if the people of Israel need to reflect on that just at the moment. I struggle to see how justice and righteousness is being promulgated from the leaders of that nation just at the moment. But I do know that God has plans of restoration to restore that righteousness that we referenced in Isaiah, that relationship, getting back to God. And then Jesus, who with his relative John, said to John, I want you to baptize me. Colloquially, I think John might say to Jesus in this present time, baptize you, you're having a laugh. Surely you should be baptizing me. And that's the immersion bit. That's Jesus immersing himself completely and equally as a member of humankind. So, I go back to this man, Timothy Leary. And that first thing that I ever said when I could actually get the words out of my mouth, talking about Sgt. Pepper and the Beatles and tune in, turn on, drop out, it made me think, as I now know, of a great theological word, change. Change, metanoia. We have this great Greek word, metanoia, and it flows right through our gospel. It flows right through the history of our faith. And it's a simple word that means a complete change of heart and mind. So if you turn that divisive phrase around, it can become this: drop out, tune in, and turn on. Way, way back when I first started leading worship, I always, and still do, liken the Holy Spirit to something that I used to deal with every day of my life, with electricity. I can't believe I'm even saying the word, I'm a retired electrician. You might say, leave the RE off and just say tired. Is there such a thing as a retired minister? And the Holy Spirit to me was just like electricity. It's all around. You can't see it. So, three things just to finish. Drop out. Stop the things that you've been doing in the past and turn them round completely. And to do that, I'll give you another 3 points. Generate for the electricians amongst you, transform and transmit. This church here is very good at generating, and I would put social justice after that. You are at the sharp edge of dealing with all the inequalities that we have in this city. You have a unique mission that I would suggest many of our other churches can't fulfill like you do. But it's because you generate. You all know your God. You share your experience of Christ in your lives. And you assemble. You generate that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the way that you react to the world out here, out there. I was saying earlier that when I first got my local preacher's study books, there was a lovely book called Worship, A Groundwork of Worship and Preaching. And in that book, there was a phrase where all preachers are encouraged to be sanctified scroungers. And just, you can pick a quote. And as long as you keep the spirit of the truth of the quote, we are all sanctified scroungers. So generate. And the quote that I'm thinking of is, ever tried, ever failed, try harder, fail better. And that's what happens when you generate, when you take risks for God. Yes, you will make mistakes, but I am absolutely convinced that you will find the way in this church, in our circuit, to show the love of God as you generate that message. Now, transform is the next one. And it's a bit like the Holy Spirit and electricity. A transformer is something that changes energy. But it kind of goes against the gospel message, because for a transformer to work, it's got to receive before it can give. Now, we are often told it's better to give than receive. But part of that generation, part of that assembly, part of you being church, is waiting on God to receive that message and to change it in appropriate ways. So generate, transform, and perhaps my favourite word, transmit. And that is very simple. And it means to take from one place to another. And I think that is the message of Jesus' immersion in humankind, being completely alongside us, completely equal with us, sharing our problems. I guess we have this inbuilt thing that we think, but he would know the right thing to do. So I want us to generate, to transform, and to transmit. And I want to finish with making sure that when we do all those things, we have to be clear and unambiguous in this very technical society that we live in, I struggle even with the simplest of emails sometimes, and I hope that I've sent it to the right person. So part of that humour, part of that transmission might involve something like this story. A married couple had decided to take a holiday in Spain, and they decided to stay at the same hotel where they'd spent their honeymoon. For various reasons, they couldn't travel together. So the husband flew out on Thursday and his wife on Friday. On arrival, the husband checked into the hotel and he saw a computer in his room. So he decided it would be a nice thing to email my wife. However, he typed the email address incorrectly and he sent the email without realising his error. Meanwhile, in Hull, a widow had just returned from her minister husband's funeral. She decided to check her email, expecting many messages of sympathy. On reading the first message, she fainted. Her son rushed up to help her, and he saw this message on the screen. To my loving wife. Subject, I've arrived. And the message was this. I bet you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you can send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. The good news is that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to see you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine. P.S. It's really hot down here. At the end of our service, we will be singing a line about being clear. Let me hear you speaking in accents clear and still. So, and finally, when I was an electrician and when I was often involved with cutting bits of wood and stuff like that, there was a message, measure twice, cut once. And that's just like the electronic age we're in. Just double check your emails. But when you do generate, when you do transform, and when you do transmit, let your message of Christ that you have experienced through your immersion in his ministry, transmitting itself, translating itself through you. Let your message be clear that you know you are loved by God, and everybody has that right to be loved by him too.